We are gonna be in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 today. You know I don't go long, so let's just get into it and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your word to understand you a little bit better, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and our minds so that process can begin, that process can happen. Speak to us and let your words be spoken tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we come to Acts chapter 14, there's a part in Acts chapter 14 that I find extremely interesting, and it only happens in two verses. Like, when I was skimming this chapter, I almost forgot that this actually happens in this chapter. That's how short this account is. It is so fast, yet you ever read the Bible? Let me just straight up ask this. You ever read the Bible and they put something really fast and you're like, wait, hold up, writer. You know, hold up, Luke. Can you expound on that? Why is this only getting two verses? This is actually a big deal. This is really important. You know, Jesus wept. No, can you give me a little more detail? Because this is a big, Jesus weeping? This is a big, was he wailing? Was it just the single, you know, movie actress or a movie actor tear that comes down when they're like serious, you know, but they don't want to, you know, like Denzel Washington in Glory, he's getting whipped by the slave, by Matthew Broderick because he disobeyed an order and he's just showing that he's not broken. So he gives out just one single tear, you know, dramatic. Is it like that? Or how was it? You know, when Enoch is taken into heaven, it's just one, it's like he was on earth and now he is no longer. That's actually a big, so right here, read with me, Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I'm not going to lie. The first time I heard this story was watching a Nest animated movie on Paul. And it was, Nest was my favorite city and I might have zoned out there for my internet. I'm sorry about that if I'm cracking, but he was dragged out of the city because they thought he was dead. He was stoned and they thought he was dead. So they come around him, the disciples come around him thinking, okay, we're going to bury this guy because he's beat up. I mean, if you think about stoning back in the day, I mean, it's not just a nice little pelting of hailstones. I mean, they're picking up big rocks and they're hitting you. And the best place to hit you is the head. So they're hitting his head constantly with these big, huge stones. I mean, when Stephen dies from stoning, it was no joke. They pick up these stones and make sure that they give you massive head trauma and lead to your death. So he was knocked unconscious and his breathing was so low that they actually thought he was dead. They dragged him out of the city and the disciples come around him, the ones that didn't stone him, the ones that are Christian, thinking, okay, we're going to bury this guy. He wakes up and he goes back into the city to continue God's work. Instead of, if I'm hit on the head with a massive stone, intentionally or unintentionally, the first thing I'm doing is going to Mass General Hospital of whatever state I am in, whatever, I'm going to that, I'm getting checked out. I'm going through concussion protocol. I'm going through all of that before I do any other activity. And here's Paul getting stoned, dragged out of the city, and going back to do God's work. And what's interesting about this chapter is if you look before it, I didn't even read that first. I wanted to give you guys that story first. But if you look before it, what had happened was they had done something so amazing. There was somebody who had never walked since being in his mother's womb. So he was lame since birth. And Paul healed him. And because the miracle was so great, they actually started to think that Paul and his entourage were gods. And because of this, Paul started saying, no, we're not gods, we're not gods, we're not gods. But the Jews that were against Paul found a way to get the people against him, stoned him, and dragged him out of the city. So here's another thing I wanted to illustrate is, usually when you do something great in ministry or something great in your life happens, you kind of feel like, uh-oh, the other foot is about to drop. Well, the other shoe is about to drop. You know, something bad may happen. Because when you reach a high in ministry, something that the enemy is after you, the devil is after you, and you'll usually find something terrible that happens right after. Right? Jesus resurrects Lazarus, and the Pharisees and Sadducees come together to plot his death. Right? If you read John, it's clear. Right after he raises Lazarus from the dead, an irrefutable miracle, resurrecting somebody, they say, okay, this guy has power from God, but we're going to stop him. You have Elijah, who gets fire from heaven to hit his altar. Baal's altar has nothing going on. He eliminates the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel says, I swear that by this time you will be dead. And now we have Paul, who has done an amazing miracle in God's name, in Jesus' name, and yet they stone him. So I don't know if you guys are too familiar with me as a Pathfinder leader, but I've been one for quite a few years. And what I like to wear, I used to wear a Smokey the Bear hat, or what they call a campaign hat, with my Master Guide uniform. And it was intimidating because I knew how to wear it. You know, usually Master Guides don't know how to wear it. That's a little side note for you guys. But it got Pathfinder scared of me a little bit. So one day I came upon a helmet. So I've been wearing this all the time now. And the kids love it because it's shiny. You know, it has a reflection and all that stuff. So all the time, Pathfinders are always asking me, Coordinator Eric, or Pastor Eric, why do you wear the helmet? And there's many, many reasons. And sometimes I tell them many reasons and I keep it ambiguous to keep a mystery. But when I was reading this story, I was like, man, how interesting is it? Because I have a helmet. And so I said, man, when I was reading the story, I was like, man, sometimes in ministry, you need a helmet because you never know who might be trying to hit you in the head with stones. And I was just, you know, being truthful on that, because in the Bible, it says to adorn your head with a helmet. And does anybody know what the helmet is? You can write it in the chat or blurt it out. What is the helmet, as it says in the New Testament, when it says, put on the armor of God? Anybody? All right. Well, the helmet is salvation. The helmet is salvation. Because the most important part of armor is going to be the helmet. it's going to be protecting your head, because this is where your brain is. If you are knocked unconscious, anybody can do anything to your body. If you are become brain dead, your body is no longer alive. Even today, even though we don't have hand-to-hand combat as they did in feudal times or in the times of the Old Testament or the New Testament, football players still wear helmets. We need to protect our heads. And when I read this scripture about how Paul was stoned, he had the helmet. He had the helmet. He knew that no matter what, God was going to be with him. He knew that he was protected. And that is why, even when everyone around him thought he was dead, he still got up, went back into the city, and continued God's work. It's interesting that we don't do God's work to actually make ourselves feel great, make ourselves feel important, or get that high of people recognizing us or acknowledging us. Because if that was the case, then Paul would have quit right after being stoned. But yet he still goes back into the city because he loves Christ so much. He loves serving God so much that even when he is being attacked, he will continue. And a good example I like to give is people, young professionals like yourselves, who are going to your local churches or coming up with new innovative ways to reach the people. And what you usually come across is those people who doubt you, the people who want to put a barricade in between you, the people who try to stop your ideas. And it can feel just as bad as being stoned. But I just want to remind you that even when your enemy thinks you are dead, if God is with you, no weapon formed will prosper against you. Even when they think you're down and out and you're ready to be buried, you can get up. You can get up again and do God's work. So make sure that you have that spiritual armor of God, that helmet of salvation. And you too can do amazing things. And know that even when you do amazing things, there will be people who will attack you. But know that you don't do it for yourself to feel great. You do it for God. And you can keep on doing it no matter what attacks you. So that's what I just wanted to say. I always feel bad that you guys get really quiet after I end. Like, okay, I gotta clap because I feel like, did I do it right? Or I'm sorry, I'm a little insecure. All right, Daniel gives a clap. Okay, thank you. All right, so I just want to make sure that when I, you know, I also look at your faces. Like, are they looking at me, or are they looking down? You know, I'm sorry, I ramble, but hey. I love you guys all, and thank you for listening, and I hope that this was a blessing to you all.
It was. Amen.
I just have like an off the topic question. Did you go to the campery this summer, this past summer at Oshkosh?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And that's another reason why I wear this, because people started using the campaign hat, and then I said, oh man, everybody's wearing it now. It's no big deal, I wear it. So I wear this. I'm the only one who wears this. So you can catch me in a crowd of it's 55,000 people, but in reality, you probably can only see, 10,000 people or something at a time. So you can catch me in a crowd. just see where the light is hitting off this, and then you'll be like, oh, there's Eric.
In 2014.
Oh, 2014? I was wearing the campaign.
2014 too, also.
I was wearing the campaign hat back then, so.
It reminds me of Jay Garrick's hat from The Flash.
Oh my goodness. Did this guy just give a comic book reference over here? The original Flash, Jay Garrick? Oh my goodness. Well, his is more high up because it's just covers here. It's reminiscent of a World War One helmet. That's how old school Jay Garrick is. Oh my goodness. You guys making me look sound like
such. And those helmets were also used as food serving devices, because they were helmets and they would eat the rations out of it.
This guy Reggie over here, he knows his stuff, man. Comic book discussion over here. Anyway, sorry about that, but he just mentioned Jay Garrick. I got excited. But yes, on the closing thing right there, I just find it a powerful story in the fact that Paul was stoned, he was thought to be dead, but he got back up. He didn't go to the hospital. He didn't check if he was concussed. He just went back and did God's work. And sometimes I think we should have the dedication of Paul, and we get attacked and we go back again. And another interesting thing, sorry, I'll just add this and I'll be done. If you really look at it, Acts chapter 15 is when he goes to Jerusalem and he advocates for Gentiles so that they don't have to be circumcised. So after Jews stoned and tried to kill him in Acts chapter 14, he goes to the hotbed of where his opposition lies in Jerusalem. Usually when we get attacked, we run away from our attackers or we avoid them. Paul was willing to go into Jerusalem where he knew people hated him, so he could stand up for Gentiles and change a policy that needed to be changed so that the gospel could reach us. So I find that very powerful. With that, I'll close and I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to hear your word. We ask that you help us to be more like you. We read the story of Paul today. But we know that Paul was trying to with all of his heart to be more like you. So we ask the same thing, that we can run the race like Paul did, so that we can hear, well done at the end of it, because we want to be with you. So help us to not be discouraged even when attackers come our way, but to know that it's just a byproduct of serving you. And to be encouraged that you're always with us. I be with all these young professionals who are on this devotional call today and those who couldn't make it. Thank you for allowing us to come together to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.